All right, everyone, welcome to Primetime. Again, it's a half-hour AMA where you can ask any questions about Neo. So we don't have any questions today. We just actually have people complaining about my microphone, which is perfectly natural. And please, thank you, continue doing so. If there are any issues, please do let me know. Microphones are difficult, yeah. But yeah, we have no questions, so I don't need to use the microphone. If you have questions, please drop them in the thread, and I'll get to them as soon as I can. Otherwise, I'm going to go ahead and mute, and we're going to sit here for the entire Office Hour segment with nothing to talk about. Gray says, can I ask something not to do with Neos? Usually, it depends on sort of how busy we are. I usually skip personal questions because we're busy, but if there are no questions, yeah, go for it. Do whatever you want. I may reject the question depending on what it is. I am only sort of guaranteed to answer Neos questions. That kind of controls a little bit of the sort of off-the-track, off-the-beaten-path stuff that we have got going sometimes, but doesn't usually control it. Maybe we're talking about jelly sandwiches before we know about it. Okay, so here's our first actual question from Lex, who says, apart from the settings menu, what would be one of the first things in the UI to redesign that would change? Not quite sure we got any further than talking about the settings menu. I know that the settings menu was going to happen because it would allow us to do a whole lot of other stuff. Basically, we'd be able to throw checkboxes, sliders, dropdowns, and input boxes for basically everything that people don't like. So that's why we wanted to do it, because right now we're sort of limited in that. For those who are unsure what that means, I would like you to go Google images of an airplane cockpit and imagine that you were designing that for the first time and needed a switch for literally everything that the plane could do and how you would design that. That's what the settings UI redesign does. You want to make sure that everything can fit. But no, after that, we were looking into user blocking, which of course would have UI, but like it wouldn't be UI redesign. It would be like new UI. However, like with that might have come, I don't know, this is just me speaking hypothetically, might have come some edits to the contact screen, because of course the contact screen would have needed new buttons for blocking if we were to do user blocking. For those in the modding community, I'm sure you're aware of the contact screen needing more space to put buttons. For those who are unaware of the modding scene, Neos mods in the Neos modding group, not moderators, mods, it's really difficult, the two things have the same phrase, but whatever. They kept adding new buttons to the buttons that appear when you select someone in your contact screen. And eventually it got to the point where like people's Neos contact buttons were like overflowing and people were like, hey, can we stop? Can we stop adding context buttons? That was a good discussion that occurred over in the modding community. For those who are unaware, modding is perfectly fine and not against our terms of service. You can just go do it. Provided it's not malicious or breaks any of the other guidelines, go do it. Although do keep in mind that you don't need mods for a lot of things. I've seen people like come into our Discord or come into the modding Discord and be like, where's the flying mod? Hey, that's a native feature, guys. You don't need a mod for that. Gray has a question here, which is, are you going to MFF like Frooks, Aegis, Canadian, and Foxworth Fur, etc.? I didn't know Canadian was going. That's interesting. I haven't seen him at a convention before. Yeah, so MFF is Midwest Fur Fest. I knew it was Fur Fest, I just didn't know what it was. That's a furry convention that is in, I guess, the Midwest. I don't really know anything about it. No, I won't be going. I currently don't have a job, for those who don't know, and so I can't fly random places on a whim because it's expensive. I had to actually cancel a visit to a friend's wedding. Like, they're a really, really good friend, but like I just couldn't justify the cost, so I had to cancel the visit to their wedding. That was made me sad. And yeah, I can't attend conventions. When I had a job, like I had before, I could totally just randomly fly around to wherever the hell I wanted to because I had a salary, but I don't currently, so I have to avoid travel. I'm trying to navigate and negotiate holiday travel plans, which my family are making endlessly complicated, and I don't want it to be complicated. I just want to hop on a plane and get off and no one to yell at me. That's actually always the plan for the holiday period, is like no one to yell at me. That's all I want. If it were up to me, I'd probably just like shut my door and like, you know, do what I wanted over the holiday period. But hey, holidays are about family obligations. On a side note, whilst I wait for additional questions, I kind of like, I do and don't understand furry conventions. So let me just imagine a scenario. Okay, so most people at furry conventions just want to see people that they know or friends of theirs that they know to see people, right? And so what they do is they pay thousands of dollars to travel halfway around the world or whatever to essentially be in the most cramped space possible. Instead, what you could just do is say, this month, this date, where there's no furry convention happening, this group of people can go to this town and hang out. And it costs so much less because you don't need furry convention tickets. The hotels aren't ram-packed because of all the other people that you'll never interact with. It's just pick a random time, go to a random town, you'll save so much more money, and you basically make your own convention when that happens, of course, but like it's easier to control than I'm going to go to this place where everyone else is going, these hotels, which are already rammed full of people, to see a great group of people that I do want to speak, but also hang out with a bunch of people that I don't know that are basically raising the prices of everything. Lex says, wouldn't conventions be more about booths and discover a wider community? Yes, there is also that, but if that's what you're going for, that's great. From experience, a lot of people are going just to see each other. And if that's the case, then don't go to a convention. It's much cheaper to just visit each other. But yeah, no, booths and stuff like that. A lot of the convention, though, is just wandering around and speaking to people. While I haven't been to any specifically furry conventions, I have been to various other types of conventions, including ones where I have been working there as a person of worky. I actually have in my bedroom sort of hung around a large teddy bear is my collection of event passes. Every time you go to an event, you get like a lanyard, and I've collected all of them. And it is crazy. Because I had, as an example, I have an exhibitor badge for E3 a few years back. An exhibitor badge for E3, yes. It's one of my proudest moments, that is. I have an exhibitor E3 badge. let's take a look. Oh, we have an actual Neos question. That's great. Let's get off the convention track. So Ozzy asks, I noticed volume unlit materials are not super popular due to 3D textures being hard to understand outside of medical scans. Have you seen them used in Neos? If so, how? Well, outside of medical scans, no, I haven't seen them. Although there is this tutorial where I talk about making a GIF, and I think I make one as a joke. I import all the frames of a GIF as a 3D texture, and it's kind of creepy. I think it's in my public folder somewhere. It's a Doctor Who GIF of David Tennant as a doctor saying, oh yes, and you kind of sort of scroll through it with the slicer. I don't know what you would use a 3D thingy for. I don't really know, like... when it comes to Neos features, you always need to start with what are you trying to do? Otherwise, you'll just be lost. Like, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to build a boat. Okay, then you need prims. You need a design for the boat. You can't just build a boat. But I want to build a boat. You need to figure out what you want to do before you build a boat. For anyone who got that meme, congratulations. For anyone who did not get that meme, I'll link a video in a moment. So I don't really know what you'd use them for. I mean, theoretically, you could use them for things like fog, but then a fog material would be better for that. The 3D texture stuff inside Volume Unlit is really stressful on your resources. I don't know enough about shader language to say this for certain, so if you quote me with this disclaimer, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not a shader expert, that's Geens, but when I read the shader code for Volume Unlit, it appears to be Raymarched, so just be careful with that shader. It is very intense, particularly if you drop what's called the step size property down to zero, you can lower someone's frames. If you drop their step size property down to zero and then put their head inside it, you can also lower their frames incredibly quickly, so it wouldn't be useful for Fox. So I don't know what you'd use it for, other than, of course, medical scans. We've also used it for like basically anything that can get like an image of slices work. So sometimes there are other data sources that can do this. I want to say something like a radar scan might be possible. I'm not sure. I'm sort of thinking about those like shockwave things they do to survey ground. You know, there's usually a man and it basically looks like they're shotgunning the floor. They're not. They're sending a shockwave through the floor so they can measure the sort of density of the rocks beneath them. I wonder if that sort of data would be able to sort of be 3D visualized. I don't know what sort of format it comes back in. Anyway, we'll move on. Rucia says they go to show off their bespoke carpet suit. That is another thing. The sort of publicity of your character and all of the pictures and stuff like that. Yeah, that's always good. Moving on to Alex's question, who said, so you know how people go to Wikipedia and browse for ages, clicking a bunch of links since Neos is so large. Would you happen to do that for the code? Yeah, that happens a lot. I have a renewed interest in this thing, which I don't think it ever got finished or it's not up to date. It's called Code Bubbles. Code Bubbles. Let me see if I can... I just searched that on Instagram. Curse my shortcuts. Code Bubbles. I have the DuckDuckGo browsery doodad. So if you do !GI, it will search Google Images. If you do !I, it will search Instagram. So I just dropped the G. Yeah, it's really old, but like, I have a renewed interest in like maybe making it figure out, like, maybe if it's suitable. So there's a picture of it. So instead of navigating code via files, you navigate them via bubbles. The reason why that's great is because I can control click about 20 times before I actually get to the code I need inside the Neos code base, because I'm not familiar with all aspects of it. As an example, the other day I needed to figure out why, like the context menu code, I needed to figure out the other day, and it was just very thick. I don't mean thick as in silly, it is quite well written, but it was very thick as in I was in the input drivers and all sorts before I found out exactly what I needed to do. There was also a problem I was having with the world browser another day where I had added... I'd added a bunch of log statements to half of Neos to figure out something that was going wrong. And then I figured out I just made an oopsie and it was a single line change. And I had to then go like pull out all those log statements. It took like half an hour to pull out all those logs and get rid of them. That is kind of a meme though, removing log statements once you fixed a bug. It's kind of sort of a thing that you'll know if you're a programmer. Arguably, you should leave those log statements in there and then just sort of flag them off. But flag logging isn't something we have currently. I'll probably sort of try and get that in when I can. So moving on to Oze's question, who says, related to Lex's question, what's a funny Easter egg in the Neos codebase? There's a bunch. You'll see actually one of them that exists in the latest tutorial I did, which is in desktop mode. In desktop mode, my cursor is a piece of cheese. It isn't the usual desktop cursor. That's because when... Fruks was creating the desktop mode, he needed to like make a cursor image, and I don't know why it came up, but I was just like, maybe custom cursor images in the future, mine would be cheese, and then he just added it to the code base. We are removing some of the sort of old memes, particularly ones that have caused some confusion in the past. For example, there is a joke screen which can be added to your facets, your dash. I don't remember the circumstances in which it was added, but it adds a screenshot of Discord because someone asked for a Discord like tab on their dash, and so we added a screenshot as a joke. But then someone wrote a mod to re-enable that dash facet screen, and then a lot of people got confused in the modding community and thought that we'd somehow got a Discord client into Neos, which is incorrect because that is against the Discord terms of service. So thumbs up. So yeah, there's stuff like that that we're kind of removing. Sometimes it's just the comments that are funny though. When code doesn't make sense, you know, there's all the memes about sort of comments that say things like, don't edit this code, you'll die if you edit this code, or this code is really difficult to understand. But sometimes there's just like funny stuff that exists there and you can kind of feel and see their pain, but in a more comical way than the standard sort of like, this code is bad. It's sort of, you know, I don't know why this works, but it does. And those are some funny Easter eggs. With that, we're out of questions. So if anyone has any additional questions, do let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to go look up that build a boat meme. Oh, I got an email. That's cool. I'll have to deal with that later. There we go. There's the build a boat meme. It comes from Second Life. I don't answer cheese questions, Grey Foxen. Cheese questions have all been answered in prior office hours. Please check the notes. Okay, looking through. Oh, we have another question. Fantastic. Thank you for the additional question. When working on the Spirit Sweepers game, we found almost every action involving the player, equipping, dequipping avatars, moving the character, installing locomotions, was best performed by the user versus another user or host. I understand networking is typically the go-to thing to blame, but I'm wondering why that is. I think that's probably a function of synchronization. So as a good analogy here, when you think about a first-person shooter game, two things happen when you shoot a gun in a first-person shooter game. And this is like maybe older information from my brain. I haven't looked how new FPSs work, but there are two things that happen and they are separate. Number one is animations happen. So you shoot a game in an FPS, animations happen. You see the bullet leave the gun, you see noise, you see the muzzle flash, you see whatever it hits, you see particles from whatever it hits. That is separate from what is actually happening to figure out if you actually hit them, which is usually what's called a hit scan, which is basically just a physics ray cast, right? That is a separate operation. Now, sometimes that physics hit scan is performed locally, which gets a result, but that is also then sent to the server to perform a server-side calculation to see if that actually happened from an authoritative point of view. And depending on the synchronization of those events, you can get sort of, the gun doesn't fire, but you kill someone. The gun does fire, but you don't kill someone. And then, you know, the actual one that you want, which is the gun does fire visually and you actually kill someone and you get the points. And if all of those aren't synced up, then you end up with a game which is not satisfying. Excuse me there, I almost died for a second. Words are difficult sometimes. for Neos, that's sort of the same thing kind of happens. There are nodes and operations which are validated by the host. But the trigger of that event should be as close to the event as possible. So you're right in saying it should be the user carrying out the interaction. And that is because they will start to see the results of that interaction first, and it'll be snappy. Additionally, if you trigger an event for a user from another user, then that other user has to send that message to the host, and then the host has to send that message to the user that actually the event is for. So just try and keep that smaller. Right. So if you're equipping an avatar, you want that to come from the person which is equipping the avatar. You don't want that coming from Ozzy or Lex, or, you know, on other sides of the planet. Like, let's see, you know, Lex is over in Australia. I'm over in America, and Lex equips an avatar for me. And that's like, okay, cool. Lex sends a message to the host. Let's say the host is in Europe, that says, equip an avatar for Prime, and then the host has to send that message to me, and it says, yo, you've equipped another avatar, there's latency there. Yeah, things can get really, really strange. And, like, the most annoying thing as well, like, desync is one of the most annoying things. You just don't feel like a human. Gray asks a metaphysical question, which is always interesting. What kind of life form would you be if you couldn't be a carbon-based one? I have, like, an interesting answer on that one, which is, like, I don't particularly enjoy biological life, if that makes sense. We're gross. Like, humans are gross, right? We constantly need to, like, shove crap in our face, and every pore in your skin is currently producing, like, goop that you don't want, and so periodically you have to go wash it off. It's gross. So I think, like, the idea of identity being just floating there is good. There are lots of films which try to do that, but they usually do it as, like, oh, it's a floating cloud of, like, glowy mist or glowy light. And I'm just like, but yeah, look into that. Non-corporeal, I guess, would be the thing, right? I don't want to leak goop everywhere, but I do leak goop everywhere. Like, right now I'm warm, right? So I'm leaking more goop than I should be doing. I should take off my sweater. Anyway, let's move on and stop talking about goop. Who's he asked, do you have a strategy with best combating corrections in sessions, or what to exactly look for? Sometimes it can be massively annoying trying to understand what could be causing them. Like, apparently world intensity, world color systems being driven, which is saddening. That, like, could be a bunch of problems all in one. And I think the best answer there would be, of course, in terms of features, to wait for hard permissions. At that point, we can sort of say, hey, you can't drive this particular system because it's not yours to drive. But whilst that doesn't occur, I always like the sort of restart the world with no one in it and see what the problems, and then journey around the world looking for those problems. It's always difficult to figure out what's going on there. Lots of stuff which people do can be undesirable, but they don't know it's undesirable, or they've put something on their avatar and they don't even know how it works and it's undesirable. I'm looking at you with the bells on your collars. Please configure your bells such that they have a localized volume and not global volume. And maybe use your own sound effect, not the common sound effect which is used on 99% of bells. Now, I have seen some good bells out there. Like, I'm seeing a change. There are some good bells out there. But the majority of bells are exactly the same as I've been seeing for years. And they are incredibly loud, incredibly annoying in global audio space. And I can't, like, they're so shrill as well. I know that kind of went to, like, my common rant about bells. But, like, you know, Ozzy, if you have, like, a specific circumstance, let me know. It's difficult to answer sort of generically without saying, like, hard permissions would probably help with that. No, bells aren't bad. It's the way that they're configured. I've changed my opinion on bells recently to be 99% of bells are bad, because I have seen a few that are okay. Maybe I should, like, go to MFF, but I'll take, like, a church bell with me and just constantly ring it. I'll put it, like, on a dolly and just, like, push it around the convention and just be, like, ringing it continually. Whilst I'm waiting for additional questions, Lex says that Interstellar does it well with a fourth dimensional being. That does it well. Yep, I agree. Star Trek Discovery, one of the later seasons, does it well. I can't really say much without doing spoilers, but there is a creature in there which is great. If I said, like, cosmic horror, you'd see, like, you know, the additional forms of life that aren't goop bags are interesting to me. I think, although the aliens in Arrival are good and are very strange, they still are goop bags, so no goop. Speaking of goop, after this office hours, I'm going to go get another mug of coffee, which is just goop. I'm going to go drink some goop. I see what you mean, Ozzy. So Ozzy says that they were trying to optimize some session performance issues, and they found some funny systems, such as a fire-on-chain of no user attached, a localized dine var that did a loop through 100 slots to turn off lights, all sorts of stuff like that. If you're using dynamic variables, why do you need to loop to turn off lights? Just use a dynamic variable driver and a world-scoped variable, and you can turn off all the lights without a loop. What the hell? Maybe I should do a tutorial on that, just turning off 100 lights with a dynamic variable. Because, like, without dynamic variables, I can agree that would probably be difficult. But with dynamic variables, holy crap, that's, like, most great thing ever. I know that there is a little bit of a stigma around using the world dynamic variable space, but if the lights and the objects are part of the world which you own, which you are building, use the world dynamic variable space exclusively. It's great. I use it a lot for the science that I'm doing, because I'm like, this isn't a world for socialness, this is a world for science, so I can just shove stuff in the world dynamic variable space all day. It's great. Like, if you go into a world of mine where we're doing science, it's eye movements, eye rotation, the secret to life, the universe, and everything. It's all in the wild, dynamic variable space. But if I'm building like an avatar, or I'm building an object which is designed to go into other people's worlds, then it doesn't use world, because that is kind of rude. Gray says, if you go to MMF, would you consider wearing a TF2 spy costume with a paper fairy mask as a disguise? No, there's a 3D printer in my bedroom, which I packed up because I was going to move apartments and then didn't. I would unpack that up. I would print off my mask. I have links saved in my browser for everything I would need to authentically recreate my avatar IRL, and that is what you would see. I would even take a drill and drill like a hole into the mouth hole so I can like put a straw in there and drink from it, because I think A, that would be funny, and B, it would be ironic. People are like, it's lunchtime, Prime's finally going to remove his mask. I'm like, nope, as I just like cram goop in my mouth hole. Okay, we're at 28, so if there are no more questions, we'll be closing down shortly. I see Rucio's typing. If you have a question, please go ahead. Lex, if you're typing, you can get a question as well. Otherwise, we'll be ending after these questions are sorted out. Lex asks, how do you feel about Sounder shutting down its podcast hosting service? Are you going to migrate to another podcast hosting service, or just use the wiki? I don't know right now. It kind of agitates me that the reason why I picked Sounder in the first place is because they had automatic transcription, and then they turned off automatic transcription, and now they're shutting down. So it's really annoying. I'll look around and see what like stuff is there. I just want it to be like automatic. Like, I know that Lex does a bunch of work after office hours to process the audio and then put it on the wiki. I want it to be automatic, and that's my like goal. So that's why I started with Sounder, and then it just went downhill. I will do what I can. I don't really know what I'm going to do, though. It is on my to-do list to look at. It's just not very high on the to-do list right now. Okay, I'm cutting off questions after Ramper, because Stifle, you snuck one in there. That's absolutely fine. But Ramper, if you got a question, perfect. Otherwise, no more questions. You know when like an umpire declares safe? Not an umpire, it's the baseball. I don't know baseball terms. The guy wearing all the armor, he's like, they're safe. That's the motion I'm doing right now. If you know baseball, let me know what I'm saying. Cool. Rusia says, I've been hearing more and more users coming into Worlds for starting point in logic, so I would typically take the time to start showing them, but unfortunately been too busy to provide building stuff to provide assistance. Do you know any good starting points to recommend when you can't provide direct help? I in the military where people do drills, and part of the reason there is that they want users of weapons or equipment or orders, like half the point for military is so that people follow orders in that question, to just do what they're told without thinking about it. And so that's why you clean your gun, you dismantle the gun, you put it back together, you load it, you unload it, you check the chamber, you do all that stuff so you know, and it's drummed into you. I want people to do that when they learn logics with the logics tip. I see so many people struggle because they don't take the time to understand the terminology and the mechanics of just using the logics tip. So a good example there that I have, I don't know where I put it in my public folder. Someone knows because it's in the Mentor Workshop world, so glad to see that. I edited a logics tip to have a node menu attached to it, which just has maths nodes, And I think I removed some of the sort of options on the context menu somehow, or maybe I didn't, I can't remember. That's good though, because what that does is it's purely there to teach you spawning nodes and linking two nodes together. And that's what I want people to start with. I don't want people to start with, I want to build a boat or I want to build a gun. I want people to start with spawning a node, connecting a node to another node, disconnecting a node from another node, packing and unpacking. And so when we get into complex tutorials and I say, and then spawn this node, I don't get, wait, how do I do that again? Like, I want that to be like memory. And for those of you who have been doing logics for a while, you know that that's memory. You know, if I say to you, oh yeah, you'll need a for node for that, you like automatically half the people in this office hours are like, oh yeah, flow loop, right? You know, like you did it in your head really quickly and it was almost subconscious, right? I want that to happen for people who are learning logics. So many people get like down in the depths of logics and then like, I don't understand how anything works. It's like, well, okay, do you know how to spawn a node? Well, I keep forgetting that. Okay, cool. Welcome to boot camp. Today we'll be spawning a node 400 times and then you'll know how to do it. Additionally, a good tip as well is for that mathematical logics nodes browser I talked about. The reason why I did that is because the logic nodes for maths don't have any confusion. They all spawn with float data types by default, which means you don't have to worry about data types. None of them have impulse lines, because impulse lines are confusing when you start. None of them have reference lines, which are confusing when you start. By references, I mean things like slots and users. It's just mathematics, and you connect them two together. I remember Zane, I haven't really seen Zane on Neos that much, but for those who know Zane, I saw Zane and he didn't know logics, and I gave him, like, I didn't have that logic node browser at the time, but I drew like a box, like a rectangle around a grouping of nodes, and it was just plus, minus, divide, and times. And I said, just link these together. Those are the only nodes that you can use. You can't use any other folders. You can't use any nodes that have white ribbons. You can just use these nodes. And he put them together and he was doing mathematics and learning how the techniques of that worked. And he said, well, what can I do? I'm kind of comfortable with that. And so I gave him the T node that just counts up. And he plugged that into all of his maths and he's like, well, T isn't round over here, but over here I have a round number. And it's like, cool, that's great. You appear to have rounded a number accidentally by using a bunch of mathematics. That's cool. And they were enjoying it. And then I think I plugged their random mathematics into the shape of a sphere or something, and it was like jumping around, and then they got the picture. I don't like how we start with like, I want to make a gun, or I want to make a custom multi-tool or a custom inspector. Start with, can you spawn a node and can you link them together? Okay, moving down to Stifle, who says, when a user is under a slot with a tag, anything created not spawned from the inventory will have that tag that is created, including objects, logics, imported assets. What are some good use cases for it? I don't know. That can be useful for, like, tags are meant to sort of be like categorization of objects. So I don't really know why that functionality was originally added. I would ask Fruks, but Fruks is kind of busy right now. So I don't really know what might be uses for that. Kind of have an example, I guess, from a world I'm building where I need every object that has a certain tag to be parented under at least some other object, right? It can't go to root. So many things in Neos that are either written by users or not written by users, sometimes it's, you know, nodes or components, will just accidentally parent stuff to root, and that cannot happen for this world. And so I started tagging stuff that needed to not be under root as a certain tag, and then I could pick that up and reparent it to where it needed to go. That was useful. I guess that's a use. Remember, guys, though, tags aren't evil. I made a whole tutorial on that because tags used to be used for data storage and people are like, tags are bad. Like, no, tags are fantastic. You just need to use them correctly. Gray says, this is a podcast. No, not really, but I was struggling to get it up on the wiki because the wiki is, you know, kind of unreliable sometimes. And I found this service called Sounder and I put it on Sounder and it turns out, you know, Sounder is a podcast platform and it automatically dumps my episodes into Spotify. So I'm a podcast now. Hi. All right, then the last question that we have is from Rampu, says, I mean, the transcriber could be made for you by community with some good ML people, but otherwise I heard my question just answered, not to ask if there any form of I'll figure something out. Like, I'll probably move it to another podcasting platform. I just don't know which one. It would need I guess better transcription. Like, I would love if it did Whisper API just by itself, that would be great, because it means that Lex wouldn't have to do it. Not that I don't want him to do it, it's just I want it to be as automatic as possible. You know, if it's up to me, every time I made a tutorial, I make a page of notes about it that includes everything that you see in the description field. I would love it if I could basically hand the video file and the description text file to some program and be like, do it, right? And it would, like, I don't know, make a thumbnail, upload it, post it on Twitter, post it in Discord, and I wouldn't have to deal with it because automation is cool. Zlinka says, tags, as in tags on the item inspector. In slot tags. Tags are used, like, everywhere. Like, there's tags on records, there's tags on assets, there's tags on contacts, there's tags on users, tags on slots within a world. With that, I believe we're done. So I'm going to go ahead and end off here. If you guys have any additional questions, please do direct message me, post some questions and help, or speak to anyone else that might be able to help you out. I will see you again next week. Do you remember that you can submit questions before the session as well? You can find that form on the Office Hours wiki page, as along with prior notes from all the other sessions. I hope you all have a fantastic day.